Our Falling Into Place series spotlights the important work of and fosters collaboration between not-for-profit organizations in our communities, allowing us all to fall into place. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. This morning, we focus on the literacy volunteers of Rensselaer County. We speak with Executive Director Judy Smith. Good morning, Judy. How are you?
Very well, Joe. Thank you for having us.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful to have you here. Thank you very much for coming in. Linda Feldman is here as well, Project Coordinator for the Literacy Volunteers. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
A delight to have you both here. So let us begin, Judy, with you as to a little sketch of what the Literacy Volunteers is and how long you have been active in Rensselaer County.
The organization itself has been actually in our 51st year of teaching adults and out-of-school teens to read, write, do math, as well as to speak English. We provide one-on-one tutors and small group instruction at no cost to the students. And we rely heavily on volunteers to be those tutors. So we're always recruiting and always in need of tutors. Myself, I've been involved as the executive director for the last 5.5 years, but I actually started as a tutor about 9 years ago, back in 2010.
What do you look for in a tutor? What makes a good tutor?
That's a great question, Joe. Someone who certainly has the time and the interest and the motivation. People of all walks of life are tutors. You don't have to have background in teaching at all. Certainly it can help, but we do, the training we provide provides a variety of strategies and skills. So I think the best part would be the heart of wanting to make a difference in a person's life, I think, is extremely important.
As project coordinator, tell us a little bit about what you do as in that role.
Sure. I am responsible for group instruction for adults in many settings. I help to coordinate workplace literacy programs for workers who are learning English as a new language, citizenship preparation, civics instruction, and community-based literacy classes for English language learners at all levels.
So that brings up a really interesting point of when do people come to you? At what point, how are people referred to Literacy Volunteers? The citizenship thing is aspect of it is fascinating. What are some other scenarios that bring people to the Literacy Volunteers?
There are a number of different ways that people come to us. I would say the most prevalent way is word of mouth. People who have used our services in the past refer friends, family, acquaintances. People also come by way of other community-based organizations, libraries, and also through social service programs. When people are interested and ready to start the citizenship preparation process, they are often referred to us in a similar way by people who have been prepared for citizenship through our programs.
I gather this changes from the amount of volunteers that you have, so this is a moving target. But roughly, how many people are you helping at any given time?
We roughly serve probably about 225 in a course of a year.
Mm-hmm.
So we have active tutors, probably about 65, 70. But we also have small group instruction, so that would swell the numbers a little higher. So we do offer not only one-on-one, but as Linda was mentioning, the small group instruction.
So let's talk about that. What necessitates one-on-one versus group instruction?
I would say for the most part would be what the student is interested in. We always offer them one-on-one. In some cases, well, we do have a waiting list, typically of 40 to 50 students waiting for a one-on-one. So if you're an English language learner, we do offer a small group instruction. So it could be that availability that might help them to come into the small group. But they also could still have one-on-one if that opens up and is available. We have less for the basic literacy students. We do have what we call a literacy study circle,
mm-hmm,
for new students who are waiting for a tutor. It's just, it gives them an opportunity to work in a small group with one or two other students and a tutor while they're waiting to be assigned to one-on-one.
And I assume everyone's coming in at a different level, right?
That's right. We work with people from the absolute beginning level of literacy through people who, for instance, are highly, highly proficient in literacy in their own language, but who have come to this country without any English skills whatsoever. So somebody might be a PhD in Algeria, practicing medicine in Algeria, but they come to this country right. with no English, so they need to start from the beginning.
So those cases aside, let us zoom out for a moment and look at the macro as people who are a part of this process of what gets us to the literacy rate that we currently have. I mean, that really causes the problem. Let the record show that Judy rolled her eyes.
Is it something like 30 million Americans are functionally illiterate?
Right.
If we just bring it home to to Rensselaer County, we estimate about 30,000.
Wow.
As an educator, I still find that kind of shocking.
So how do we get there? How did we get there? And assuming also that it's a problem that is not rapidly improving.
No, because I think we've been saying about 30,000 for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, it's hard to know. Some of the issues have to do, because we're talking basic literacy as well as English language learners. So for the basic literacy learners, they're adults coming, for the most part adults, coming out of an educational system that for many reasons they did not, succeed at becoming literate in reading and writing of the language, anywhere from learning disabilities to maybe some of the families moved around a lot, some of them dropped out. So there's a lot of reasons there. English language is a little more obvious in terms of they're new to the country and they're looking to improve their lives mm-hmm. and be able to be employed. And it all impacts their lives greatly in terms of employability as well as helping their children with education and so on and so forth. So,
once you start the process and you have somebody, say one-on-one or in a group, I was going to ask, to what degree of difficulty is there in teaching? I mean, I assume there's all kinds of challenges that can come up, but one-on-one, is that a difficult thing for an older learner to comprehend and put into practice?
One-on-one tutoring?
Yes, or even in a group.
I would say that the one-to-one model is actually extremely beneficial for most of the learners that we serve. And that is in the first case, because it can be individually crafted to meet the needs of that particular person. All of the literacy volunteers' instruction is learner-centered. So we work individually with learners based on their level of literacy, their personal interests, their personal needs, their personal goals. And it's a continual process of goal revision, goal examination, goal setting, and crafting lessons to meet the needs of that learner at that given time. We meet the learner where the learner is.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying that you have to come through this curriculum, you have to go through chapter 1 to chapter 10, and you have to do that in 16 weeks. We say that every time we sit down with you, we're going to be meeting you where you are right now in terms of your literacy needs.
How do you ascertain what their literacy needs are? How is that figured out?
Well, we do an intake when the student comes to us, which involves not only looking at what their goals are and what their past experience has been, but we also then provide testing. So we do a pretest. If it's an English language learner, we're doing what they call the best plus two. And if it's what we refer to as a basic literacy student, that would be with the TABE test. And so we have that as a starting point. And then we have educational functional levels. So we have a lot of background information that gives us a good point of what they may know or not know. And we often refer to with adult learners as sort of like a Swiss cheese, in the sense that there's lots of pieces, lots of information they do have in their literacy skills, but there's a lot they don't. So it's sort of, but the testing is a good place to start. And then at the end of 30 hours or beyond that, we'll do a post-test to see what their growth is. But at least the pre-test gives us a starting point. We'd get a little writing example if they're able to do that. And then that tells us a lot as well.
In the group programs, how often do they run? How often? And what gives us a sense of the group dynamic of how that works? Because I assume they can help each other.
Sure, that's right. First of all, we count on some very, very wonderful volunteers to provide this service. They are people who are committed 52 weeks a year to meeting the groups either once or twice a week. The minimum amount would be half an hour. The maximum amount would be 3 hours of instruction. And the instructor essentially guides the group, is responsible for multi-level instruction in most cases. We have mixed levels of learners due to the necessity of providing instruction for everyone. So the volunteer is in place to serve as a role model, a guide, a mentor for those learners. And as you say, the learners do have the ability to help each other. So the higher level learners can be peer mentors, peer tutors to the lower level learners. In general, the groups function extremely well. They're extremely popular. And we tend to, you know, we feel a little bad when it starts to pop at the seams because we try to cap a group at a level of learners which is maintainable, where everybody can get the attention and the time that they need. We always have more learners waiting to get in than we can serve at any given time.
When it comes to the volunteers and getting volunteers through the door, what can we talk about, do you think, that would be helpful in letting people know that they're perfect for this?
Good. Well, I mean, both of us actually can speak of our experience of being tutors for this organization. And, you know, I certainly know working with, I had a couple students over the years, and knowing that you really are, in a very small way, but really are making a dent into that person's self-esteem, and you're really helping them to be more of a person, you know, more developed person. It's just very rewarding. I know that's not what we're going, really, typically. The volunteer doesn't really go in to make me feel good or, you know, that person feel good, knowing that you're helping that adult. But there is that extra bonus that you're feeling the reward from it. And it really is a learning process for everybody. I mean, we talk about being lifelong learners, and it's a perfect way to do this.
And I would think you get very attached to the person that you're teaching.
Right.
There's because you're very much with them in this journey.
That's right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the volunteer shares what they love. The volunteer shares what they know. Judy said, we really don't have expectations on volunteers in terms of their credentials. What we do expect is that the volunteer invests something of his or her own interests, their own life experience, their own perspective, and knows that they're entering into a kind of partnership with a learner where they can talk about subjects which are interesting to them. They can move toward a point of mutual understanding as adults. I often tell my volunteers that in my experience of 16 years teaching adults, there's nothing more gratifying to me than allowing an adult to speak in the language of ideas. Because for somebody who's incapable of communicating their adult ideas, life can be very paralyzing.
Well, you're doing wonderful work, and it's very, very important work. You can find out more information by going to the website, which is lvorc.org. LVORC, which is, yes, Literacy Volunteers of Rensselaer County, lvorc.org, to find out more information. We also are going to have a link with that address posted along with this interview on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Executive Director Judy Smith and Linda Feldman, Project Coordinator, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning.
It's a
delight
to have
you both here. And thank you for the beautiful work you're doing in the community.
Well, thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Again, you can find out more information by going to lvorc.org or on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.